Hi, this is Ed Chamberlain. After Super Sunday today, where we had two games, Manchester City beating West Ham and Spurs making it six straight defeats for Newcastle, just in the car on the way to the airport alongside Niall Quinn, who was with us today. Enjoy today, Niall?
Yeah, good. Man City got back on track. Yaya Toure, who we've questioned, and not just us, but other people have questioned his authority now in the Man City team, but he was absolutely excellent. And all the Man City players were, in fact, and poor David Silva got injured. Obviously, that's a concern, but they were right back to the Manchester City that we know. And coming away from the game, kind of felt better for the likes of Pellegrini's job, for Manchester City fans who think that, you know, that perhaps the last few weeks their club was sliding a bit. So it was good to see that.
It's amazing with City, Quinny. You talk about City and we're talking about all the problems they've got. They're fourth in the Premier League. And I'm just thinking, as we drive through Manchester here, heading for the airport, traffic all gone, thankfully, so we're going at a good little lick. How the club must have changed from the club that Niall Quinn joined all those decades ago.
Yeah, well, funny enough, when we just left the Etihad there, looking at the whole system, the academy system there, the setup, it's like a university now in terms of what's there. When you go in the gates at the Etihad and you see everything on a vast site, and I think plans are to do an awful lot more there. And that contrasts totally with the football club that I joined, that, you know, that we got changed in the dressing rooms at Old Main Road, and we all got in our cars and drove to Platt Lane, which didn't have a dressing room.
It didn't have a dressing room?
No, and the thing I remember most, the first time I picked my kit bundle up on my first day, you know, I put my shorts on, and I promise you, Tarzan had longer shorts on than what I was given to training. It was just the way football was at that time, and it was a wonderful time for me, and I, you know, really blossomed as a footballer at Manchester City and loved my time and still have some great friends here because of it. But the club was, you know, it was under the shadow of Manchester United, and it found it difficult a long, long time before it got away from that. And it did take, you know, some serious investment years later and the move to the Etihad, everything else to do that. But that would never, ever let me, you know, forget about the good times and what Main Road meant to the soul, the fabric of the club, if you like. And it was a thrill to go there for the first time. I signed my contract with Bernard Halford, who's still with the club now and can be seen, you know, alighting off the bus every time the players come off the bus. He's up there at the top with the manager. But Bernard was a canny old secretary, and in my initial contract, I managed, through the help of my solicitor, to negotiate a car, which they got me from Tom Garner Motors, which is gone now, but we just passed where that used to be, and that was lovely. And 6 months later, though, I got a bill from the club for the rent of it, and I can remember going back in, and this is what football was like. There was no agents to do this kind of stuff for you. I went back in to see Bernard. He eventually saw me in the offices of Main Road, and I went, listen, I think there's a mistake here. I had this car in my contract, but I've got a bill today, and my wages, it's been taken out of my wages. And he went, no, have a look at your contract, son. And he got my contract out, and the wording was that Man City would endeavour to provide me with a car. So I said, well, what does that mean? He went, well, we endeavoured, but we just weren't very lucky, so you owe us.
So they kept their side of the bargain.
So I ended up having to pay for my car, and that was it. You were fighting battles all the Brilliant. Time in those days.
But I imagine that's all the stranger for you, because you came from Arsenal with all its history and class and marble halls.
Yeah.
It must have been quite a contrast.
Well, in some respect, yeah, Arsenal was, you know, as you know, that old Etonian image wasn't just dreamt up. It was that way. You had the marble halls there. You had the system in place for many, many years. You learned so much in growing up as a footballer there. It was a great education to get at Arsenal. Arsenal's, your kit would have been immaculate every day. You know, your boots were immaculate. You had to do a lot more work on your own when it came to Man City, even though you were in the first team at the time. But Arsenal did it another way. They just gave you very little wages. So in fairness to Man City, they paid me far more than I was on at Arsenal. And I blossomed here. You know, we stayed up when I came here. I came here virtually, the old deadline used to be in March, middle of March usually, and I came very, very near the end of the deadline, and we were in the bottom three, but we stayed up under Howard Kendall. I took off the following year, my first full year at Man City. I think I got 22 goals. I think it was the first one since Francis Lee to have done that for Man City, and I think it was only Tevez years later, or maybe even Aguero. I'm not quite sure. I should know that. So it was good, and I was accepted here, and I also had a few quid in my pocket, and Manchester was booming. You know, you had the Hacienda was a famous nightclub. Now, I never went there myself.
I don't believe you.
No, I was never there myself. But the whole music scene came to life here in Manchester, and it was an incredible time. And obviously Oasis being the big one that everyone will remember from that time. They performed at Main Road, their first time back at Main Road. And the lead singer, Liam Gallagher, came out in a Man City top with Niall Quinn on the back. So, I had my moments. And it was fun because Manchester was happening. I was playing well, had a few quid in my pocket. And then I met someone and got married, Ed. And,
the lovely Gillian.
And things slowed down a bit after that.
And how does it make you feel having been through that journey, if you like, with City and seeing the way it used to be? When you go back, days like today, and you've mentioned you had a look at the academy and everything that goes on there the other day, and in particular when you think what you've been through recently, where you were on commentary, of course, with Martin Tyler for the iconic Premier League moment, if you like, with Aguero.
Yeah, incredible. The last minute goal against QPR. Dzeko got 1 second before it. You know, it was just an incredible memory for me. And I suppose at the time I stopped to think about the kit that I had to wear at training, the training ground, which was, you know, it was a paddy field. You know, it was really poor. But I suppose you stop to think about the people who have that blind faith, and it's normally fans, but there were high profile fans as well, not just the ordinary fans, but there was a group of people that I knew who I understood what it meant to them to see their team win the league and to end this dominance that, you know, was coming from Old Trafford. And I was on a journey here, and for 6 years of that journey I was here, but I was relegated before I left. Shortly before I left, we were relegated. There was a lot of issues. We had a decent side, don't get me wrong. We got to fifth twice and looked as if we were going to do things. That made it all the more frustrating that we didn't. Peter Reid got sacked, Brian Ort took over. There was the thing just didn't quite work out. But that didn't stop me from understanding what it meant to the people who the blue half of Manchester, if you like, who have followed City through thick and thin, and more often, you know, it was thin on the basis that, you know, Man City were renowned for throwing things away and cocking things up more than anything. Francis Lee's famous quote shortly before he became chairman of the club was, if we had a boardroom for cock-ups, we wouldn't have enough room at Main Road to fill it up for the silverware instead of silverware. So, you know, people followed through all that. And yes, the move from Main Road went ahead to the Etihad, and the whole thing looked to be going the right way, but when it finally happened, it was great. And I understood that, even though I was there working on the day as a commentator, my first feeling after the game was for the thousands and thousands of blue Man City fans who never even dared dream that it could happen.
What a day that was. And just to finish with, because we're making rapid progress to the airport, you're off back to Ireland, I'm off back down to Southampton. Some couple of quick fire questions for you. Where will City finish this time around?
They could go back into a challenging position and get past Man United and even Arsenal. Certainly, it's an interesting first four battle now, I think. I think they can finish with heads a little bit higher than they were in the last week or two. And I think the manager, Manuel Pellegrini, has a hope now of going in there and fighting his corner in terms of getting a little bit more backing from those behind him and moving on a couple of players who haven't done it for him and starting again. And I think he got his respect back from us lot today. You know, we questioned after the Champions League exit, you know, we questioned his tactics, obviously. We questioned the desire of some of his players in the last few weeks to actually do it for him and dig him out of the hole he was in. But I think today they showed, when they're unsung, you know, what they're capable of. And I think it will go a long way in helping him, and indeed the next few games are important too, of course, to have that conversation in the summer with, whether it's Mr. Soriano or Mr. Bergistan, I can never really pronounce his name correctly.
What's wrong with Bergistan?
Bergistan. I think he's a very important conversation to have with them, and to convince them that the message to go back to the owners is, you know, you don't need Klopp, you don't need whoever, Guardiola, whoever's out there. We just need to alter things a little bit and kick on, and that's what the next few games now, I think, are about. Will Manuel Pellegrini get himself some good stock answers for the difficult conversation that's going to come, because they haven't retained the title?
Okay, so you're back there Saturday Night Football. Super Sunday next weekend is, we're at Arsenal, Chelsea, Everton, Man United as well, and we will have another podcast, I'm sure, after that. Now, safe journey. Thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure, Ed, really enjoyed it.